Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together as we gather around the Word of God. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we are now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and we're now being heard in the Lowell area by 100.3 FM, and we welcome all of you to our broadcast time this morning. Others have tuned us in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening by the way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. And then you bring your mouse over to where it says Messages from the Lighthouse, and it'll show up Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it takes you to my storage place where this morning's message is being has been recorded and placed there for you to listen to at any time you so desire. Whatever way you tuned us in this morning, I'm just so glad to be a part of your life and allowing me to share with you the message that God has laid upon my heart. I do need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, she's from the Orleans area, and Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she's from the Greenville area, and Maria Vard in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee, where she's moved to be closer to her family. And I'm just so glad for each one that helps us with the financial broadcast. Also, I need to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Our weekend of worship at Shiloh starts out Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, it's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church on the corner of Grove and Loray Street in Greenville, and that service is 11 o'clock. Welcome you to come to any one of the services that you so desire. Well, that takes care of the things that I normally do. It's Wednesday morning, a little later when I got over here to do the broadcast this morning, but it's a beautiful day. There's a nice little ripples on the lake this morning. There is about three or four fishermen I see out there fishing, and the sky is as blue as can be, and that's making the lake look just beautiful as well. So that gives you a little update at the lake here. Last week we had a baptismal service here at the lake, and we had a nice group of people being baptized, and about 100, 125 people come to watch, and that was something special. Now, this Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, we have the Harger Reunion, and so we'll be gathering together again at the lake and having a special time together. So God's blessing be upon you, and God's blessing has surely been upon us, and we thank Him for that and all that He does for each one of us. The message this morning, I'm going to do one of four messages. I want to talk about the church, and I realize that the message that I'm going to be sharing with you is not it's messages that I preach at Shiloh, what the church is supposed to be accomplishing and doing and so on. But I'm not thinking of the local church like Shiloh or whatever church you attend this morning. I'm thinking of the idea of you and I as believers, we're a part of the church that Jesus said, I will build my church. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And then in the next 3 weeks that follow, we'll see that after He's got the church started, what things He's looking for to happen within the church. And you can we can come to the point of understanding not what the church always does, because, you know, I don't know, I said for probably 60 years now, it's really not about the church, because it's about that soft-sandaled man of Galilee His name is Jesus, and he loves us. And when we place our faith and trust in him, we become a part of what the church is that he's talking about, that he's going to build. As a Christian believer, we're a part of the universal church of Jesus Christ, wherever it might be. And God's got some things he wants us to do as a part of that church, and we'll be addressing that in these next weeks to lie ahead. Well, that's enough to get us started, so let's think about a song. On one of the things we're going to learn this morning about the church is that it needs a foundation, and Jesus Christ has become that strong foundation that we need, and we're going to build our lives upon him and what he's done for us. Well, here we go. God's blessing to be upon you, and I'll be right back.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure.
Wanted to get started with the idea that Jesus is our firm foundation. That's what we're going to build upon. He has become the foundation of our life as we trust in him. So we're going to just get this message started in just a moment, but as I've been doing these last several months, I want to remember the listening audience, that God's special blessing would be upon you, dear people, that have tuned me in, whatever it is that you may be going through in your individual life. I just want to remember you in prayer. So let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come to you. And Father, I come on behalf of the listening audience asking that your special blessing would rest upon them and meet their every need according to your will. I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts in a special way through the messages that come these next few weeks to see how we're doing as a body of Christ, a church of Christ, as individual believers, a part of that church. For Father, I want to pray especially this morning for those that may be going through some physical difficulty. No, we realize the older we get, there's so much pain that we have to go through. Not everybody, but Father, we realize these things called arthritis and all this stuff that we hear about when we're younger, but we don't know what it is. As we get older, we realize we begin to experience that pain. And some people are going through that really strong pain this morning. I ask your blessing of comfort and courage to be upon them. Others, Father, are going through the pain of the loss of a loved one, and there's been so much death just recently that I've been involved in. And so, Father, we just pray that you would bless those as they're going through the grieving process, that you might give them the special strength and courage and comfort that you're able to give. Others, Father, got some family problems. Family always isn't working smoothly, and there's all the things that end up being a part of families, that breakdowns of communication and divorces and all this stuff that takes place in this day and age within the family. So I pray for those that's going through that kind of difficulty. Some are going through some financial times. It's really a struggle for them right now to make ends meet. Everything seems to cost so much more, and then things break down. And dear Father, I just pray for the listening audience. I don't know what your needs are, but dear Father, would you meet them at the point of their need and give them the comfort, the courage, the challenge, or whatever it is that they need, that you might lead them and direct them. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, all the years I pastored Shiloh Community Church for 50 years, still been going there since I retired now 11 years ago from the church ministry, still doing funerals and all these kinds of things that I do with my Facebook and the idea of devotion each morning on that Facebook page that I have as a public figure. That's been a blessing to me. Got over 1,300 people following me now on that Facebook page, and that's very special. I love doing this radio broadcast. Been doing it for 42 years, and so God's richest blessing has been upon that ministry, and I appreciate that. But you know what, folks? Every now and then, we realize we got to rethink some things. There's some things that God wants to direct our lives about and come back to some idea of the things that Jesus really was teaching us. And, you know, one of the things I like is the idea that I just enjoyed so much the ministry that I did at the church. But, you know, I always said there's good things that happen in church, and sometimes it's not so good things happen in church. You see, church cannot be any better than the believers within the church building. And when there's things happening in people's lives that they need to work on or correct, that's what God's going to be speaking to us about. Jesus said, I will build my church. And that's what we're going to look at these next few weeks, at Jesus' idea of what a church looks like. Now, he wasn't just thinking of a church building, but he's thinking of you and I when we place our faith and trust in Jesus. You know, he came down to earth here and he did what he was supposed to do, and he gave his life and so that we could have the forgiveness of sin. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for each and every one of us. But in the meantime, I'm thinking of the church, but I'm thinking of you and me. Us as individuals, since we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, we become a part of that universal church of Christ that he is building. I believe the foundation of the church and the blueprint for the building of the church Jesus gives to the disciples one day when he asked them a question. And the question was simply this: who do people say that I am? And we're going to talk about that this morning, because that's the foundation. When Jesus came to the region of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Who do they say I am? And the disciples said, some say you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been put to death by at this time now, and so some say he's risen from the dead, John the Baptist. But then he says, and others say you're Elijah, that prophet from the Old Testament. And others say, no, people think he's Jeremiah, one of the other prophets from the Old Testament. And then Jesus said to them, I always like the way he does that. Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And you know what? One of the disciples that he had called was named Simon Peter. And you know, Simon Peter was really quick to speak. And Simon Peter, oftentimes, he answered for the entire group. And he said this, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, he's saying, you're the Messiah that was promised all back through that Old Testament, and one of these days was going to come. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood did not lead you to this opinion or to you to this thought, but my Father who is in heaven, he has revealed this or declared it to you. That's a beautiful thing. That's where the church began. That's where the church age began. We're living in what is called the church age today, and some people call it the time to build the kingdom of God, and I guess that's all right too, but what we're really living in is there's going to be a period of time where the synagogues was replaced with churches. Churches started sometimes in the homes of a family or homes of three or four families, and it was the church age, so to speak. Jesus was going to ask his disciples, who do the men in the community say he is? This is what the most important question of our whole life concerning the person of Jesus. Who is he? Is he who he says he is? Have you decided for yourself? That's what Jesus is up to this morning, trying to get us to decide for ourselves. Who is he? What is he to us? Our answer to this question will determine what we believe. Our answer to who Jesus is will determine how we live our life here on planet Earth. And you know, in reality, the answer of this question, who is Jesus, will determine where we're going to spend eternity. Because Jesus came, said that he came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. But Jesus said the reason he was died and rose again was to give us the promise of eternal life, spending eternity with him. The disciples responded about some beautiful people of the community of the believers' world, of God's world in days gone by, with John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or maybe one of the other prophets that they didn't name. That's what people say who he is. These were very important people to the part of the plan of God. It was very important people during the times that they lived, beginning with the bringing the message of God and the message of what God the Father wanted. But you know what? It's the wrong answer. So Jesus then asked the disciples, who do you think I am? Who do you believe I am? Then Jesus asked the same question. This brought it right back to them as individuals. And you know, that's the way it has to be. Every single one of us, under the hearing of my voice this morning, you have to decide, who is this Jesus? Is he just a teacher? Is he just a good man? Who is he? In the Old Testament, God promised one day there would be a Messiah. It would be the Christ that was going to be born. And God tells us in the book of John 3:16 that he sent his one and only Son into this world because he loved us so much. And you know what? That disciple Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To which Jesus responded, Simon, you didn't figure that out for yourself. The Father reveals that to you, and that's what the Father does to each one of us. When we come to that place of listening to what Jesus has to say, who he is, and so on, you know what? Peter may have answered for all the disciples, but the disciples had to learn that they had to answer for themselves. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? What does he mean to me? What does he have to do with my life? Each of the disciples had to answer for themselves. And you know, in this part of the message, that brings me to this thought. Every single person under the hearing of my voice this morning, myself included, we need to answer for ourselves. I had a beautiful picture on my Facebook of a person sitting watching a beautiful sunset. And you know, I think that's when we can do those quiet times of our life. I love it when God told us in the Old Testament, be still and know that I am God. And so the question is asked to you this morning. The question is asked to me. The same question Jesus asked the disciples. Who do you say I am? And I got to tell you, dear people, I respond quite quickly with the fact that I believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who he is. He's become my Savior. He is my friend. Yes, he is my friend that I can talk with and pray to. But he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask you this morning, who do you say he is? We need to come to that point, and God will help us come to that point if we search through the scripture and search through the things that God shows us about who this one Jesus is. And in these messages that come up in these next few weeks, we'll be seeing this one Jesus, and the church that he wanted to establish is something that's going to be tremendously beneficial, not only for you as an individual, but it's going to be beneficial for anybody that wants to become a part of the church that Jesus Christ is building. This becomes the foundation, this idea that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The foundation for the purpose of the church is, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11, we see Christ as a foundation, and a part of that foundation was the prophets of the Old Testament declaring one day the Messiah is going to come. They foretold this one Jesus, and there's many, many verses. And when you and I come to the point of understanding, God was giving us many things to tell us what he was going to be like when he came. And then when Jesus came and he did the work that the Father sent him to do, he provided salvation for us that we could be a part of that church by getting the forgiveness of sin for all mankind. And then after he declared who he was after the resurrection, that gives us the assurance of our resurrection, he returned to heaven. And as I've mentioned once before, there he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then the apostles took over in the book of Acts. The disciples that were with Jesus, they declared him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they not only called him the Lord Jesus, the foundation, but they called the Lord Jesus the chief cornerstone. That's a part of the foundation, but it's one of the rocks that stand out tremendously. This was recorded in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 17 through 22. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off, that you and I as Gentiles, and to those who were near, that was the Jewish people. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And this household of God that he's going to be talking about is the church that he's going to build. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles. You're built upon the foundations of the prophets and all the things that they predicted. But Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple into the Lord. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, you know, all that the Old Testament prophets were a part of, all that Jesus did when he was here, all that the apostles did after Jesus was gone to cause the church to grow. He said, you're built upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. But he says, you know what? The chief cornerstone is Jesus himself, and that whole building's coming together. And what is it growing? It is growing the kingdom of God, yes. But it's going into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God wants to live in my life. He wants to live in your life. He wants to live in the life of others. And you know, a local church such as Shiloh, it's just a group of people who believe that one Jesus, and they form together and they become the church in Shiloh. We're doing their church there in Greenville. And you know what? Those people that believe in Jesus there as they gather at the old Calvary Baptist Church, they become a part of that church of Jesus Christ. And they're now in a building. But what made them a church is because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other church that's declaring the truth that Jesus Christ is the foundation for reason this building exists, they become a part of that universal church. And that's something that is very special. It is like describing the chief cornerstone. The building typically has four corners that make up the building. And it's all, this building is all made of stones that he's talking about, that he's using as an illustration. But in one corner, there's a chief cornerstone. It was the first stone laid down on the ground at the corner of the building, which was then being built by adding stones next to it on top of it. But the chief cornerstone became that cornerstone of the building. In the book of Acts, when the apostles were talking about the Lord Jesus, after they'd healed the man, and he was being questioned, why, by what authority did you heal this individual? The apostles were asked, and then they answered in this way, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, whom God raised from the dead, By him, this man stands healed before you. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now there is salvation in none other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must believe. And Jesus even said that way back in the book of Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said, have you not read in the scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Before we listen to a song, let me just kind of tie that together for you. You know what he's saying, folks? He's saying Jesus came and the Jewish people rejected him. They crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And now he's building his church that he talked about when he told the disciples he was going to build his church. It's made up of individuals who place their faith for forgiveness of sin and for the hope of eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. And when they do that, they become a part of that church that Jesus is building. And it's going to be a place where God dwells. He's going to dwell in each individual's life. And then those individuals may join together in a church like we do at Shiloh, or a church like is maybe your church that you attend, where Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then we do works within the community. But you know what? We're going to learn through this messages that I want to share with you that God has this work for us to do individually. And it's only the church is only able to do it when we do it individually. I say again, the church that is in Shiloh won't be any stronger than each believer is. And that's what God wants us to know. So we're going to listen to a song that says, "He's my cornerstone." You see, what it really comes to is that Jesus wants to be the cornerstone of the church that everything else is built upon. But he's also teaching us Jesus wants to be the cornerstone for our life. As you and I build our life in every day that we live, he wants to be the cornerstone of our life so that our life is built upon him. So we'll listen to this song that will describe that for us, and I'll be right back. God bless you.
It's hard to see the sunshine when it's cloudy. It's hard to find a cheerful spot in the gloom. But the Savior died to overcome the darkness, and his radiance is filling up this room. He is my cornerstone in time of tribulation. He is the steady rock of ages in the land. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble, and upon the cornerstone I'm gonna stand. Lord of hosts, the everlasting Father, Counselor to me. In my battle, he's a strong and mighty warrior. But praise the Lord, he is my Prince of Peace. He is my cornerstone in time of tribulation. He is the steady rock of ages in the land. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And upon the cornerstone, I'm gonna stand.
Wow, that took off, didn't it? We cornerstone, and we're going to stand. You see what he's telling us in the Word of God, and it's kind of illustrated in that song, that with this one Jesus in our life, he becomes the cornerstone of our life. He wants us to build our life around him. He wants, when we go through difficulty, to know that he cares about us. I often pray this verse at funerals that I do, that we can unload upon him all of our anxiety, all of the difficulties of our life, all of the fearfulness of our life. We can unload upon him because he cares for us. He becomes a cornerstone of your life. He wants you to know that you've got a solid foundation in your life. No matter what comes your direction, we've got this assurance that Jesus Christ is going to stand with us, that Jesus Christ is going to be a part of our strength, that he'll strengthen us as we go through the difficult times of our life. When we face the things that's bigger than us, this one Jesus can help us face those things that's bigger than us. He explains it just a little further, and I love the way this is done. The foundation is Jesus Christ. It's founded upon the fact that Christ, the Son of the living God, is founded upon the fact that he's the cornerstone. And the disciple Simon was the first one that responded to that truth, that Jesus Christ is the living stone. And it reminds us of what God is going to do through his life. I love it when that man Peter first trusted in Jesus, because that's where we become these stones that we're going to talk about in the days that lie ahead. I love it that this man was introduced to Jesus in the first place. One of the two who heard John speak one day followed him was Andrew and Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," that being translated the Christ. "We found this one that was promised in the Old Testament." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, which being translated means a stone. That's what Jesus said to Peter. "You're going to be a stone in this work that I'm going to do in the building of my church." And then Peter was the one that confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus was talking about building his church, but he's using the language about building a building. Like it needs a foundation, it needs a cornerstone. And Peter is one of the stones that's going to be a part of that corner of that building of that church. I love what he calls each of us as believers. And this is recorded for us in the book of 1 Peter. "Therefore," he said, "laying aside all deceitfulness, lay aside all hypocrisy, lay aside all envy and all evil speaking." Get rid of some of these things that's hindering your life. "And as a newborn baby desire the milk of the word that you may grow thereby." When you first place your faith in this one Jesus, he says you're like a newborn baby. You can't eat steak and mashed potatoes and gravy. You can't eat some of those kinds of things. What you need as a newborn baby is you need milk. So he's saying, you know what? Desire the milk of the word. God's word's going to be the milk for your life that's going to cause you to grow. "If you indeed have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you know that he's good. Come into him as a living stone." Now, that's what he's going to call us. He's going to say, you and I are living stones, rejected indeed by men, because he's a living stone, but chosen by God precious, and chosen by God to show us why he chose us. Now he says, you know what? Jesus is the main living stone, the cornerstone. Peter was a stone. But now when you and I place our faith in the Lord Jesus, he said, you become a part of my church too. Not just a congregation you go to at Shiloh or wherever you go to church, but you're a part of my church, Jesus is saying, that I'm building. And you're going to be a living stone. I love the word living stone. He said, you're going to be a living stone on this building. And we're going to be built up into a spiritual house. It's going to become a place of spiritual worship, a holy priesthood. You're going to be able to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to use you, he's saying, to bring about things for his church. That's what he wants. Now, please keep separating yourself from the local church. I believe we are to bring something to the local church. But I believe he's saying, you know what? Jesus says, you're part of the church that I'm building. You attend Shiloh Church or whatever church you attend, but you're part of the church that Jesus is building. And he wants you to be a living stone. He wants you to be built upon this spiritual house. He wants you to have some spiritual things that you're going to be able to do. I love the process of growth as we see the church Jesus is being built. It grows, first of all, each one of us as we are added as a living stone. When you believe and I believe, we become a part of the church of Jesus Christ. As a little bit of that building that he's doing, at first we, like newborn babies, we need to have the word of God, that desire, the milk of God, that we might grow and become all that he wants us to become. And that's beautiful. But also he says, you know what? As that word gets into your heart, as that word gets into your life, And you start building your life upon the foundation of Jesus. And you build your life upon Jesus as the cornerstone of your life. All of a sudden, you're realizing there's some things you need to get rid of. So he said, you're going to grow when you get rid of that stuff that kind of draws you down. Lay aside all malice. Lay aside all deceit. Lay aside all hypocrisy. Lay aside all evil and evil speaking. Get rid of that stuff in your life that's causing you to go down rather than up. It's causing you to be hindered rather than growing. And he said the word in your life is what's going to do that. When you get God's word in your life, it's going to give you victory over these other things that's a part of your life. And as a newborn baby, just love to get as much of that word in your life as you possibly can, because you know it's going to help you. You see, when that's true in your life and my life, as a part of the church of Jesus Christ that he's building, all of a sudden we have opportunity to reach out and help others come to know this one Jesus and who he is, and to understand that he wants to be the cornerstone of their life. He wants to lead them and direct them in a way that will be very special. But God gives us a warning. And that warning is that we got to be careful. The warnings by the Apostle Paul as he's speaking to the church at Corinth. He said, you know, I'm telling you, you're part of the church that's being built today of Jesus Christ. But I want you to be careful how you build. I like the way it says, listen to this, verses from Corinthians. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds upon this foundation. Paul's saying, my life is on that foundation. Peter's life is on that foundation. Other believers' life is on that foundation. And Paul said, I've been a part of the foundation because he's a part of the early part of the church growth. You and I are part of the growth in these years of 2019 of the church. We're on the same solid foundation, and underneath us is Paul and Peter and all those that's believed before us. But he's saying, you're the part of the church that's being seen today in 2019. Now be careful how you build, he's saying, in 2019. Paul said, I was very careful how I built. Peter was careful how he built. So he said, be careful what you lay on that foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stone or wood or hay or stubble, each one's work will become clear. For God's going to have a day when he's going to declare the work. He's going to send a fire, so to speak, some kind of test. And the fire is going to test the work. Now, in the Old Testament time, fire was used to test things. You know, they made things out of pottery. And to test them, what they did to make sure it was right. Sometimes, you know, you might have had a scratch in a piece of pottery when you made it in the Old Testament time. You could take some wax and you could put over that part was scratched, and the scratch, you could hide the scratch. But you know what they did to make sure that wasn't that way? That pottery was dried in the sun. It was sun tested. And the sun got up to about 100 degrees. And guess what? That wax melted and that showed the scar that was in that piece of pottery. God says, there's going to be tests in your life. There's going to be tests in my life that shows the work that we're doing, that it's a good work or it's just an insignificant work. We really didn't give it all we had to give it. You know, he's telling us, you know what? If your work is tested by these tests that come into your life, and what you have built upon that, upon the church of Jesus Christ, that foundation, he said, if that work lasts, endures, you're going to receive a reward for that. But if anyone's work is burned up, if he didn't do it, that's hay, stubble, and that kind of thing. He said, that work gets burned up. He said, you know what? You're still going to be saved but out of the fire, so to speak. I love the way Jesus described the test of the storms. When one day he was speaking to the people, and he told them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do? Whoever comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He's like a man that builds a house, who digs deep down and lays it on a foundation of a rock." That's all we've been talking about this morning, is these foundations of a rock. "And when the flood rose and the streams beat vehemently upon this house, against this house, and did not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But who hears my word and doesn't do nothing about it? He's like a man that builds a house on the sand. And when the storms come," because the storms will come, "and when the storms come and beat upon that house and test that house, because it has no foundation, the storms destroy the house and it falls. And listen to this last statement, and the ruin of that house is great. That house is done away with. It is destroyed." God's telling us we need a solid foundation. And Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to build it on a solid foundation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to become," Jesus is saying, "the cornerstone. And upon that cornerstone, there's going to be other stones. And some of it is the stones of the prophets who predicted that one day this Messiah would come. And some of it is the stones of the disciples whom Jesus called. And they built their lives upon that same foundation. And then after Jesus went to heaven, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you, to help you as an individual and to help me as an individual," he says. "Now what you need to understand is that the apostles, all those disciples, as a church began in the book of Acts, they built upon that same foundation. They were built upon the prophets, and they were built upon all the things that happened. And here you and I are 2019. We're built upon all the people that had Jesus be the foundation of their life, and that Jesus was the cornerstone of their life. And now 2019, he's saying, "I want you to build your life on me. I know there's a lot of ways you can build your life in 2019. There's a lot of voices calling out to you and a lot of voices calling out to me. But Jesus is saying, I'm still building my church, and I want you to be a part of my church. I want you to be a living stone. I want your life to be put upon this building of the church that I'm doing. I want you to be one of those." And then he describes, there's going to come a test. How are you doing? What are you building on this church of mine? Are you building things that are really valuable? Or you're building things that don't really matter, such as hay and stubble? If you're building things that's really valuable, he said, there's going to come a test. That same test is going to come to whether you're building on valuable things or you're building on things that's going to get destroyed, things that won't matter. It's like saying we should be building for eternity, things that's going to count not just for a week or for a month, not just for our lifetime, but it's going to count for even after we die. That there's going to be a reward for the stuff that you did for Jesus down here on planet Earth. And he wants us to know that that's something beautiful for each one of our lives. But he says, when the storms come, and he didn't say if the storms come, he said, when the storms come, you need to know that they're going to come. And because your life is built up on a solid foundation, you're going to be okay, like the man that he talked about who built his house on a solid foundation. You're going to stand. But the stuff that you've been doing since you've been a part of this solid foundation, if that's been insignificant, you can be sure when the test of life comes, that's going to be destroyed. But he says, I want you to know, because you're on that solid foundation, your life's going to be spared. But he said, you know what? If you build on that solid foundation from your life, things that you do for Jesus that's going to count for eternity, he said, I want you to know there's going to come a reward. A reward will be for that. The things that you do for Jesus that's going to survive, he says, I want you to know I'm going to reward you for that. I'm going to give you a blessing. Not only that you're a part of my church, not only that I've given you the privilege to serve for me, but when you do it from a way that is causes to effect for eternity, I'm going to reward you for what you've done. That's pretty special. I don't do what I do for the reward that Jesus is going to give. But I got to tell you, folks, he promises us that it will be a reward if the work that you and I did for Jesus is going to survive. I want us to know, we need to realize, Jesus is building his church on a solid foundation. And not only is Jesus building on a solid foundation, he himself has become the cornerstone. And we're being built upon Jesus and upon all those that's gone on before, each and every one of us. Man, my time is gone. I got a song I want us to listen to, though. This song says that Jesus is the solid rock. God bless you, and thank you for letting me share with you in the message this morning. Join me in the weeks that lie ahead as we talk about the Church of Jesus Christ and what it's supposed to produce. And you and I are part of that church to bring honor to his kingdom and glory to this one Jesus. God bless you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
His righteousness alone, faultless to stand.